After earning her degree in pharmacy from Dalhousie University, Rosemary integrated her pharmaceutical education with extensive studies in a wide array of holistic healing practices. She then went on to become Canada's very first holistic pharmacist. Rosemary is a highly respected lecturer, writer, and media personality with the natural health industry. In addition, she serves in a senior capacity with Prairie Naturals Health Products as a company spokesperson, educator, and formulator. So welcome, Rosemary. It's so great to have you on the show today. We're talking bone broth and the benefits of bone broth.
Oh, I'm so glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
It's lovely to hear your voice. So everybody's gone back to bone broth after all these years. What were all the benefits? What's all the rage right now?
Well, I think it's, first of all, this idea that it's something familiar. You know, that it's like steeped in tradition, even for us North Americans who are not necessarily like the Europeans or the Asians that have been cooking up every type of bone broth. Chicken, you know, chicken soup, right? It just has this warm, nourishing ring to it. And, of course, we know that it does contain ingredients that help fight off colds and flu, helps a person who's maybe feeling a little bit weak or needs to convalesce. And it's even become more obvious that we need it to heal our gut. So our intestinal lining, this is what I think has been bringing it to the foreground over the last, let's say, 10 years, not just the good for healing colds and flu, but healing the lining.
Okay, so it's good for our immune support. It's good for overall healing, for gut health. It helps our bones and joints too, doesn't it?
Yes, skin, nails, hair. And it's because the type of protein that you get out of cooking bones is not the typical type of protein you'd get from cooking, say, meat. If you cook up meat protein, you're getting the type of amino acids that are going to help build muscle, for example. Mm-hmm. When you cook bones, what we're getting, and especially if the joints and the knuckles and joints were included in there, you're getting the type of protein that makes collagen.
Ah, and that's another big one these days. Can you just elaborate what collagen is and does for us?
Well, collagen is a type of protein. As a matter of fact, it's the most abundant protein that we have in our body. It's what we call structural protein. So it builds the structure. As a matter of fact, if you took the collagen away, we would just be a puddle. We wouldn't have any structure. It's what gives the bones the structure. Now, you know, the bones have a matrix, and in that matrix, we deposit minerals. And the more minerals we deposit, the denser and the harder the bone becomes. But without that matrix, there wouldn't be a place to deposit them. So it's in bones, but it's everywhere. Our skin tissue. What we know about collagen is when it starts to decrease, and it usually does with age, what's the typical thing that happens?
Wrinkly skin. We get shorter.
And those wrinkles are kind of, you can imagine, they're a breakdown of the structural protein, the collagen, which are then allowing the skin to sag and not hold its structure and its puffy, youthful look. So, you know, those are just a few of the ways in our body, but it makes up just everything.
Rosemary, does collagen actually help with the thinning hair of aging too then?
The thinning of hair, well, if you think that the blood supply has to be able to get through to provide the nourishment, and if you have a poor structural protein, that's most likely going to happen, that you're not going to get the nourishment into the follicle of the hair root, because that's the biggest place where if you had the shrinkage of that hair follicle. So I'd say it would be part of it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody was setting up a rejuvenative process for their hair, they'd want to get the nourishment, make sure they have all of those vitamins and minerals, make sure their body is pH balanced. That's essential. And then provide the type of protein that would be needed for the structure of the scalp.
Mm-hmm. Which would be a collagen protein, or would it be a different kind of protein?
It would be, if you're looking at bone broth, It's definitely containing collagen, and you'd want a beef bone broth. Mm-hmm. Because different types of bones, especially if we can separate them into beef and chicken.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Yeah, well, they're all of it's going to contain the basis of collagen, But if you're working with beef and the beef bones, what you're doing is getting a type of collagen that really works a lot with skin, nails, and hair. So that's why we would suggest a beef. If a person was using a collagen supplement, it's a beef collagen supplement that has got the claim for skin, nails, and hair.
Okay. Rosemary, is there any difference, say you're taking beef, is there any difference taking the collagen from the skin of the cow or from the bones of the cow?
Both are going to give you collagen number one and three, usually. Those are the ones for skin, nails, and hair. And actually, everything else except joints.
Okay.
So if we look at everything, skin, nails, and hair, that would be ligaments, tendons, you know, your eyeball structure, your bones, everything. But if you're getting it from a source like the beef hide, what you're doing is putting it through processing, like a heavy processing, to extract and concentrate the collagen.
So it's much cleaner to get our collagen from just boiling the bones.
I'm sorry, could you say that again?
It's much cleaner to get the collagen just from boiling the cow's bones over the skin and hide?
It's more traditional.
Mm-hmm.
It's more wholesome and in a more whole food way.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the difference, because when you take hide, you have to process it. If you think of hide, it's not very soluble, right? If you took a piece of a hide from an animal, what do you have to do to be able to digest that? It has to go through a lot of processing to make it available to get the collagen out of it. And those are collagen supplements, which are different than taking bone broth or taking bones and cooking them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you make a bone broth supplement, like a powder, all that you're doing is the same type of processing, which is cooking the bones, usually as in a pressure cooker.
Mm-hmm.
So you're cooking up bones, and then you're evaporating and drying the powder.
Okay.
So it's closer to whole food, and it's made from bones. Now, the best type of bones, of course, to use are going to be organic bones.
Mm-hmm.
Because bones are known to concentrate heavy metals, and you want to be sure that your source is clean and that you know that the bones are in good shape. When an organic protein powder is made, then there should be heavy metal testing of that, and that should be available. Heavy metal testing to prove that they've tested and that does not contain heavy metals. So that's always an important part, whether you're having a supplement or whether you're making your own broth, is to be sure that your source is. If you know your farmer and you're aware of the state of the animals, that's great. But most people have to rely on butchers.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Rosemary, we're going to have to go to a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue gleaning information about bone broth and why it's so good for us.